We'll just start the show.
Okay. Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up. Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, welcome.
Hello.
The Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, joined by Jen Hellman.
Hi. Yay.
And this is Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. And as the coronavirus goes... stretches the land. We're here, live, in Coral Springs, Florida. Welcome to the show, and everybody watching on Facebook Live, don't forget, if you don't ever, if you never heard of it, our podcast is on Stitcher, Podbean, just look up Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Many, many shows go back there. Subscribe, donate to us on our Patreon page, give donate money to the show for our gas money for the co-host.
That's right.
You know, right?
That would be me.
That would be you. And, you know, I don't need this. I don't do this for the money. I do this strictly for the love.
I do it strictly for the money. The, you know, the $5.
Yeah, every 2 months
helps tremendously.
That's all we're getting. That's only we're only getting enough where people get like $5 every couple months. That's how bad it is. So
yes,
just go
tremendous.
To that. Just go to the Patreon.
I actually picked up a new sponsor, McDonald's.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
They don't know it yet, but.
What do you get when you get it? You got chicken nuggets. That's what you're eating?
Yeah, I typically don't eat McDonald's, but I haven't eaten all day, so I was starving.
You have to. Right? Sometimes you got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, it was just quick and on the way, and
yeah.
I had enough calorie, and I worked out really hard today. I can't get over how big my arms look. I'm really distracted
you look like
by
you're
that.
Like, you look like you're juicing.
I'm not juicing, but I am working out pretty hard.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to get back into it.
I saw that, Clever Lang. You are like...
My boxing? Oh, the punching bag one?
Yeah. Ones. Now, are you coached? Are you being coached while you're
doing this?
No,
that's just me
this
doing just some things I normally would do.
You just show up at LA Fitness, they got a bag, and you just start punching the shit out.
Well, that was actually after like an hour of cardio and lifting and stuff. At the, you got to wait to the end.
Oh, you got to work up to it.
Yeah, you wait to the end. You don't, I mean, you get there and, you know, just wait till you're beaten tired.
You should put on a Donald Trump face and put a Bernie Sanders face on the bag. And
yeah, and every time you hit it, it's like, hey, ooh.
The billionaires are baiting me.
Corporate elites, wealth tax.
You're all about the billionaires.
Yeah. I had a, we're talking about ridiculousness. I had a conference. Somebody posted something about Bernie. And they're saying, how are you, everybody? You know, the companies... You know, these corporations don't pay any taxes. And again, this is coming from somebody who has no knowledge of the actual
of
executive
how the world.
World
works. Right. I'd be like...
I love it when people talk about shit they know nothing about, like tax code and, you know, and law. And like they've never played, they never ever played in an arena of such a level. And all of a sudden they're going to there's these companies. So I was just basically like, look, companies that don't pay taxes doesn't automatically demonize it makes them become the evils of the world. Because sometimes companies that don't pay taxes, they usually have their gains and their revenues offset with expenses, things like payroll.
Right. Or health insurance.
And life and benefits and
right.
You know, so when you go to a company and you work there for 10 or 20 years and you put money into their 401k because it makes sense to do it, you know, it's not hard to do. And if you do that, you know, and then they match. Some companies say, hey, I'm going to throw some money in there
right.
for you.
6% up to some, I mean, I don't know. How,
free money.
It's been a long time since I've worked in the corporate world, but some of them match up to like 6%.
Up to 6%. 100% up to your first six. And if
that's
they don't,
free money.
And if they don't match it, they usually throw a pension or, you know, every 2 or 3 years, they'll throw like a pension, like a, you know, you just get free money that way.
Yeah.
So that's all taxed. Now, these people get to deduct. The companies get to deduct those numbers. So either way, they're trying to develop a better mousetrap. That takes research and development. You got to keep all those people hired so they can keep their 401ks and keep their fucking ball rolling. A continuity of sorts. But sometimes
a middle class of sorts.
Yes. So they pay taxes.
Upward mobility of sorts.
They make billions of dollars. Yes. Well, they also had to pay for that. They had to pay. So sometimes they look, what corporations will do is they say, look, how much discretionary extra capital do we have so that we, A, just don't eat it on taxes and get nothing out of it. Let's put our real value to dollar. Well, you know what? Let's offer full coverage on health insurance. Okay, that's a good idea. Well, then that's an expense to the company. That can offset the revenues. Oh, what about matching? Yes, we'll match. We'll add money to their 401k. Yes, we'll give them full disability. Yes, we'll add other things that are, we're going to do all this thing. Guess what? No income, no taxes. Okay, for some schmuck to go, hey, you guys don't pay fucking taxes.
Yeah, you know what I feel like is that if you take this polarized system, I don't care about corporations having their money and using tax loopholes any more than I care about those who are in poverty and probably will always stay in poverty, taking advantage of the system. So at both sides, you have the two groups of people fucking the system. Right. And then all of us in between, we just scramble to let them do it. And, you know, it's like, it's funny I don't know when becoming wealthy became a bad thing.
Right, yeah. It's an evil thing. How dare you have money I don't have?
Yeah, I don't know when that happened.
But you know what?
Both sides are.
I always equate this to things like more like in the comedy world. You know, there's a reason there are people here. Oh, you got to hear this thought. I had this. It was a very profound thought. And I wanted to tweet.
Profound.
I wanted to put something on Facebook. I figured I'm going to get all the trolls on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But I'm going to say it here on my podcast. So I would, as everybody, you know, the burners, you know, everybody's like, oh, the social with share and diversity of wealth. I get it. I understand why you want it. Usually the ones who don't get it themselves, they want everybody. Want everybody else. I get it. But, you know, fair, because some people just can't achieve shit.
Right, or they don't know how the world. There's two people. Yeah, those who know how the world works, and those who don't.
And those that just go through like lemmings, in shining metal boxes. Thank you, Sting, for those words.
I'm so sorry, Brett Morris. Go ahead.
Yeah.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, where was I? So here's what I have to ask. Usually, the Hollywood elite, you know, they're all like, oh yeah, we need all. They always want this fairness and everything, right? Like share the wealth. Here's what I would want. I'd want the Hollywood elite, let's start with the actors.
Okay.
That if you feel so strongly about this ideology of sharing the wealth and the opportunity equally amongst everybody, then everybody who's got a SAG card should then also get the equal amount of TV roles, movie roles. Like, in other words, a producer cannot solely choose the actor either by the talent or by the what they've done, their history.
Who they slept with.
Exactly. All these things that come into play, right? That if you want that, then guess what? No actor could have more than two movies in a year. It's impossible. If you believe in that philosophy of sharing the wealth, there's not one reason why anybody that's a star actor could ever do more than one role every 5 years.
Right, and everybody who pays to be a SAG member has to get their fair share.
Whether you suck
that's
or not.
Great.
You get a leading role.
Yeah, whether you're good at it.
It has nothing to do with
whether you're smart, whether you can remember your lines.
It doesn't even matter.
I like it, Dougie.
Right? So if we're going to really do this, then, you know, as you look to the financiers and the people that actually said, you know what? I make this much, I'll spend this much, and then I'll make sure I put a little away. You know what I mean? And I think those are usually responsible people. And don't get me wrong. I know there's people that are always fighting for it, but at 30 years of managing people's money, I can tell you there's a personality. there's many personality. There's 350 to 1 human personality traits that are controllable that affect your success financially.
No way. That's a fact. 351.
Than to one that makes it impossible for you to do that. In other words, for every reason you have to fail financially. Right?
I have none. No.
There is 350 reasons why you shouldn't.
Right. If you can just...
There's ways to overcome that. Like losing weight. You know, let's face it. You're just lazy. You got no discipline. That is the one thing that can offset...
Discipline can make a huge difference.
Yes.
Vision. I just had this conversation. I'll do a quick plug for Action Business Coaching. We were talking about how you get to the end. And you have a vision. And you have direction. And you prioritize. I think comedians are... Classic. You know, I was just thinking today, I almost posted it on Facebook, but I didn't.
That seems to be a trend.
Yeah, because, but I feel bad for people. You're going to get some 95%, 98% of the people that we know today
right.
are going to get to 50, 55 years old, right. 60 years old, and they're going to look back and they're going to be pissed about what comedy took from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna be, like they didn't get anywhere. You're saying like you're basically somebody who spent a lot of time doing it. It only took
like, so some of us, like we have other jobs. Some right. of us have other things. We have families. Right. We have whatever it is that we found along the way. But there's going to be people who comedy stole.
Victims. They're like, you're saying you're
victims. They're not victims. They're idiots.
Yeah. Well,
they're not victims. Yeah. They just poorly planned.
All right. So how, you like my idea of how the Hollywood elite.
Yes.
You know, that's something.
I love that. SAG. You know,
so if I posted that on Facebook, would you come to my defense when the trolls come after me and they say I'm an elitist? And
yes.
You know how many people when I made posts like this in the past? Came out and said, oh, Doug, you know, he's just had things all his life. They didn't realize I'm self-made. They all think I came from a rich family.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like, what made you assume that, you know, and everything. So I think, listen, if you want to do it, that's the concept. Comedy. Comedians. If you're a comic and you believe in the Bernie socialistic way and you believe in sharing the wealth, you should not be headlining once a year at the Improv. Because there are thousands of comics
who should also have
the ability to sit in that green room and get some of the best fish sticks and chicken fingers you've ever eaten.
You know what? And let me ask you this.
Right.
Does anybody who gets a ton of stage time at the Improv, have any of them, has it been really beneficial for anyone?
Yeah, I think, listen, it's a good question. Like, we've talked
who
about
it. Who has it worked out for? I mean, I know there's been some favorites that go through over the years that I've been in comedy. And where are they now?
I think if there's a lesson to be learned from what you just said, one is I don't like to usually say anything negative.
Right,
about that.
Right.
Way.
I mean, I don't work there anyway.
But I will say
like,
this. I will
I
say
got
this.
Nothing to lose.
It's true today. The Improv nor any club, maybe I shouldn't say any club, but there's very few, if any, maybe one to two, world famous locations, the Comedy Store,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
cellar.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Exactly. There might be one or two clubs that this may not pertain to, but there's not one club on earth that'll make or break your comedy career.
I agree.
Right. There's too many.
I mean, it hurts, I would say, when you have a following, a local following, and the first thing people ask is like, oh, when are you
gonna
local?
Be there. Yeah, yeah.
And what they mean by local is when are you at the Improv?
Right.
That's what they mean.
They don't want to go to a bar.
They don't
want to
go anywhere. Yeah. So in that sense, but yeah, if you work hard at it and you're passionate about it. But I don't see, I know some comics who live and die for.
Just to be there, yeah.
That when I'm like, but the people who've had the advantage of working regularly there as a host or whatever, have they
benefited from it?
I'm asking, I don't know, I'm kind of proposing the question.
Like you said, I think there's been a few that made it, there's been a few that just didn't, but I think that's natural progression too. I don't know if it has any influence. Like, listen, like you just said, you know, if you take if one out of 10, what's a good number? Like one out of maybe, out of our local scene, one out of like 50, let's say one out of like 30 work and get like or moved on to that level.
Right. Well, another that takes into that gets into a
50,
whole nother.
One out of 50 are actually doing, like, you know, look at it. In
what's
Florida,
making it
in Florida? You got Preacher Lawson crushing it, right?
Yes.
Making it huge. Some of the other people, like, look at Carmen Morales out of Orlando. She's really in there. She's in a development stage with Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, she's not. But I mean,
but
there, like, you know, Mike Lawrence, you know, he's a writer. You know, what he was ever, you know, so he's got certain levels. But Preacher Lawson, you know, his
Orlando, not West Palm.
Yeah, but yeah,
or Tampa.
But Florida, I'm saying, as a Florida, like, out of the thousands, there's only one or two or three. So you can't expect it. You know what I mean? You can't
right,
expect
like
that.
some of the best comics I know from Florida are they're booked every week and working shitty. They've been at it for 20 years.
Right.
And they're working shitty Florida rooms, one-nighters.
Well, yeah, that's funny. I was thinking about that. Like somebody asked because I. My
is that
new,
making it?
New,
I don't know.
My new
I
mean, thing is, like, I'm going to work the Florida rooms, my local rooms. I want to work those in December and January and February. I don't want to go anywhere else. Why go out of the town? If I'm going to go to Colorado or I'm going to go to Wisconsin, I'm going to go to any of these places, I'm going to do it in October, May.
That's funny,
you know
depending
I mean?
On the weather.
Yeah. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to fly in. Like Lenny used to tell me, dude, you're going to fly into Oklahoma City for $500? You know, it's a blizzard.
I know. That you,
fucking tornadoes and shit.
And if you can afford it, like I said, there's a whole fun factor of comedy. There's a
What's up, David?
Do it because you love it. There's, I mean, yeah. But, you know, if it's not adding up, if you're getting into your 30s and it's not adding up.
Well, you're depressing me. I mean, I'm older than that. And I'm like, you know, I'm still
But you
not
have that. But you have the priorities. You have another career. I know people right. who shouldn't have quit their jobs.
Oh, I get it. Like they went full.
They
full,
just
full
go
into
full
it, perhaps,
for it. And it's like, what do you have to, you know, you have to be smart. That's where I'm saying comedy will steal. And you're as a financial planner. I think at some point people have to realize, like, I'm not making it. And and there's going to be a time where you, like, you're not going to want to work. You can't work.
Right. Well, listen, I 100%. And I've said this 100 times in this show. To know oneself is to know God. You know, that's one of the, that was one of the mantras when I was in my early 30s. I got to know what I can and can't do.
Right.
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I got a soccer scholarship. I went on second division teams. I trained. You know, we had Thomas Rongen here and they cut me from the strikers. You know,
oh, really?
I made it like through the.
Wow. I didn't know I was such a soccer superstar.
Well, yeah, right. For the strikers. But you know what I mean? But even then, you know, there's a moment there I could have said, no, I'm going to keep doing this. All right.
Right.
You have to you have a self-realization like, you know what? You got to do that. And that's hard. Then, you know, it's hard. And then on the other hand, you got people that are quitting when they shouldn't quit. You know, they're just
right.
upset.
Right. Dan DeCotis,
you
know, is he doing comedy?
I heard that Dan always like ended up doing some writing for stuff that was.
Oh, God, I hope. I thought he was. I don't know where he is now. Yeah. But Dan, I think you're a funny motherfucker.
Yeah. Dan disappeared. He's Great so hair, funny. By the way, Dan.
Great hair.
So, at any rate, you're right.
I'm just saying.
But you know what? I don't care. Listen, these people, you know, just talking about this, I don't, you know, again, it's a drama about comedy. There's people like, oh, why aren't I working? Why aren't I? Well, this, A, because A, it's very competitive.
Yes.
Forget about taking anything personal. First thing that, you know, I know I do because I'm the same way. I want to get more bookings. And I ask myself that. But at the same time, you got to realize there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things other than who you are personally, anything you control. Anything,
it is hard not to take it personal,
if there's many things that is impeding you in life that has nothing to do with any control you have. You know, like, look what's happening now in the world, the coronavirus, right?
Yes.
You know, this practice, businesses are concerned, and there's all these, everybody's panicking and fucking, you know, buying bleach and tissue paper and all kinds of fucking crazy things. Putting masks on their face when it doesn't even work. You know, everybody does. All of a sudden, we're supposedly the brightest generation of humans ever on Earth, and we're complete fucking buffoons.
Total idiots.
You know what I mean? So, you never know when shit's gonna happen. Like, you know, as a financial planner, it's crazy. Time I'm aging like a president. You know, it's nice
because
when,
since the drops from the coronavirus.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna handle this? What should you do? And you know, you gotta. Thank God. Yeah, if you do something for 30 years, you actually know what to do. And you do it. And, you know, it's the old, like, I remember there used to be, like, in the days when there was a bad day in the market, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the client would come in and the guy would, there was a joke, he would be tying his shoes for 30 minutes because he didn't want anybody to see him behind the desk. You know what I mean? Oh, I got to drop my pen. You know, someone walks in, you know, it's going to be a pain in the ass. But, you know, but that's it. When things happen, you got to go out and say, look. This is what I got to do. You know, the last few weeks I've been calling the shit out of my clients and, you know, and going over it and actually adapting and moving stuff and doing what needs to be done. Proactive, doing something.
Right. Well, that's you know what you should do? Act normal. Go out and eat. Go out and buy shit. Fly up to New York this summer.
Well, that's interesting. Like you
act
know,
normal.
Like
and
I got
it will correct itself.
I got gigs in Seattle and Oregon and Washington in August. What do you think?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Act normal. Yeah.
Yeah. No worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to, whatever.
Decide if there's a breakout. I mean, Washington has.
Five people died there already.
But, you know,
they're from the same nursing home.
You have a better chance of getting the flu and dying from the flu than.
I got to stay out of the nursing homes, right, everybody?
Yeah. But, yeah, act normal. It reminds me of, it's funny because I historically have had tumultuous relationships. Not always, but often. And
now you're the one involved in these relationships, right?
Yes. Well, I thought that. I thought I was the common denominator. I didn't realize when you don't date douchebags,
right.
It's very easy. I don't fight with my boy. I don't lose my cool. But part of it is me growing up, and part of it is that I'm just with a really fucking great person. Right. Great. And that makes a difference. But thinking back to when I would lose my cool, sometimes it would become like I would get so caught up in the heat of it, right, and the motion of it, where you'd have to be like, just fucking put down the shovel. Just put down the shovel and act fucking normal. Yeah. You want things to go back to normal? Act normal.
Play it out.
Just act normal.
Yeah.
So fortunately, like I said, I don't really experience that in this. I'm very lucky.
Well, you know, I've said this before. People are like on the road, comics, oh, how can you be married? You're always on the road. You know, there's all this temptation. I'm like, dude, when you got a good person, a good, right, you know, you rely on.
My wife's cool.
And that, you know, always is there for you and going to be there and, like, you know what I mean? Keep out that part, yeah, of your fucking world in order. Because, you know, nothing's, it's the simpler things. Like if I'm on the road for a week or two, I come home and everything's fucking in good order.
You're happy to be home.
That is like, yeah, as opposed to you come home, even if I was by myself, you know, there's shit everywhere and I got to catch up and there's, you know what I mean? It's just a different world. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. I think it's almost like today people are so overly concerned with the other person. Like we've lost touch with the ability to, like I said, know who we are, know what we want, experience the thing. Like we are a whole generation of people that were told what to expect.
Seriously, you know what I mean? Your expectations.
Yeah. You expect, you know, there's an old saying in philosophy. There's like, if you expect, expectations lead to disappointment.
Yes. It's so true.
Because you expected, like in a relationship, you know, if, like you're talking about relationships, you know, if you have this vision of what you want
what
and you keep trying
to
push
be.
These square pegs into round circles.
Right.
And that's the frustration as opposed to just letting it happen, you know.
And I think also it's very important. Like I know, like with my ex-husband, I used to get angry at him for not being what I needed. But it wasn't my right. It wasn't my right to say you need to be this or need that.
Right.
Like he wasn't a fit for me. If I would have just understood that at the tender age of whatever I was, 29.
Well, see, that's the thing too. You shouldn't second guess. Things always happen for a reason. You know, you didn't know that because you weren't supposed to know that.
Yeah, you know? But I just feel like if you get turned out, if you find yourself raging, if you find yourself crying, you're not with the person you're supposed to be with.
Well, yeah, you have to evaluate the results of it. Like, and that's what I'm saying, you got to pay attention. You know, I've been in relationships. When I first started getting serious and girlfriends and stuff like that, I always went for the hot chicks. You know,
how old was that, Dougie?
I'm like six. I was from preschool, like hitting on chicks.
He was grabbing at his babysitter's titties.
Listen, I'm not a pervert. I had three older brothers.
Oh, you know what I mean? Man, so you talk they paved. About, you had so your leftovers.
The early stages of my young adulthood was trying to lose my virginity, at least somewhere before my other brothers. I didn't want to come in last place.
No, that's a competition. Are you guys close in age?
Yeah, basically 3 to 4 years apart, five,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was young, you know, and I told stories during the show where we had a house of one of my brothers. We shared a room, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, my brother would be banging some girl on the floor. I'm like, holy
shit.
Oh my
God, that poor thing. That's like Michael Jackson. He was completely messed up over his brothers having sex.
Right.
In the same
room. What I mean? So listen, I didn't write a pure platinum record.
Right.
You know, and I can't.
No, you didn't doodle little boys either.
Yeah, exactly.
Or accused of.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not hanging out in Neverland. but you know, here's the thing. Life is so chaotic and unbelievable that, you know, if you, and I like relating things to poker. This is a great lesson in poker because if you sit at a poker table with $1,000,
okay,
and you say, I'm here to play poker,
okay,
that doesn't mean you're here to make money. That doesn't mean you're here to not lose money. That doesn't mean you're here to do something so you can pay for something. You know, you are here to play the fucking game of poker.
Because I had $1,000 that I could spend on poker.
Right. So the minute I put the $1,000 on the table, I have to be accepting to the fact that if I lost, I'm not going to be cursing at people at the table. You fucking asshole, what are you doing hitting ace three off suit? You know,
yes.
You can't be that guy. You have to accept what the fuck happens because it's a game.
Let me ask you this. Can you go to a casino? Let's say $200, $200.
Right.
Can you go to the casino and just have a good time, get a meal,
yes,
get a drink, sit a couple slots,
yes,
whatever, and have fun and go home and be...
I'll go play poker for 5, 8, 9 hours. I'll get there at 8 o'clock
but
at night.
But can you go with $200? Just, we're going to stop.
That's not enough. I need $300 buy-in at least.
Okay. Because, yeah, I dated somebody one time. He was, like, a gambling addict. Right. And it was annoying because we were, it's like, it was one of those things, like, oh, we're passing by the aisle. Let's stop in.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to, like, I just want to stop in, have a drink, drop a couple $100, and then we go home. If we lose 200, right. we lose 200. That was not.
See, I would do that. I wouldn't go for
a. That's not fun
if you
for
said
them.
We're only, if you and I are going somewhere, say, let's go to this casino for at least a couple hours. I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to play poker because I'm just, that's like a rhythm.
Right.
That's like, you know, I want, but all right, you know what? Let's go. I'll go play blackjack.
Right.
$200, win
couple
or lose.
Drinks.
That's it.
Some food.
Yeah.
Drop some money, $200 on whatever the hell you want and
yeah,
go home. I mean,
exactly.
Like, it's fun.
But you got
to. I can't see what anybody.
But that takes fiscal responsibility.
Well, yes, I mean? I was much again, fiscally responsible
again, you're asking
compared
for
to that
people
person.
To adjust to that shit. So I don't know, man. All I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Everybody expects people. You know, they want what other people want. They're ignoring what they want and what makes them feel good. They're ignoring, like you're saying, not being able to tell that they're wasting their time at
right.
something. You know, they don't know
that those feelings, my point is that those feelings that you're feeling are not wrong. You're just not you're not with somebody who's nurturing you. I can't see who any, I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, Mike Ayette, local comic.
Hi, Mike.
Rick Miller, a lot of people on here.
And Brett Morris, so the reason why I interrupted you earlier about Brett Morris, because he made a very funny comment and the first time and I've ever done this and I felt really, really bad about it. And it was because I didn't know Brett was paying me. But I told his audience to go fuck themselves. And I've never done that. But so we did a show. It was me and Perry and Mike Panzeca and Brett. And these people were so loud. It was one of those, like, remember, like, Mickey Finn's? Remember Mickey Finn's where, like, but
Wednesday.
Nobody was paying attention. Like,
I'll
admit, you know what? It was so wrong of me because it's like that thing. You remember when you first started comedy and, you know, you're told, like, you just tell your jokes. You just go right through it and you tell your jokes. And I've been a little spoiled because I've been working rooms where people are actually there to see comedy. And I've been spoiled by that. And I actually.
Wait a minute. Is this what I'm reading about? He told you to go fuck yourself?
I couldn't. I was like an amateur. I couldn't finish it out. I couldn't tell my jokes. I kept looking back at Mike and Perry, like, you guys are next.
Where was this? Attached
tacos? I think it has the potential to be a good room, so I don't want to say anything bad about it. But the service did suck. So that was another problem. I had no food and no beverage. I brought people out. Brought people out to the show, and they couldn't hear me. They couldn't hear. They really loved Perry. They really liked Mike.
Right.
They couldn't even hear Brett. They loved the other comics. And my mom said, she was like, this guy seems really funny. I can't hear. It was just very frustrating. So
it was loud. It was
very loud. They were not paying attention, which I've worked plenty of rooms like that. But I stopped telling my jokes. I probably insulted them, millennials, several times and then left them with, I'm going to leave you with, why don't you guys go fuck yourselves? And Brett Moore, and then Brett comes up and pays me. And I'm like, oh my God, I would have never told the audience to go fuck themselves if I knew that you were paying me. And I had an unprofessional moment. I was really embarrassed about it because I set a bad example.
Yeah. You never attack the audience. As bad as they are, no matter what happens.
I know, but they were fuckers.
Yeah.
I had a green moment. They got the best of me. And it was the first time since I started comedy that ever happened.
Yeah. You don't.
Sorry, Brett.
If you've done comedy for more than 5 years, it's happened. You know, you the crowd sucks and you say, you know what?
Thanks,
you know, but the rule is.
You keep telling your jokes.
Yeah, you keep.
Everybody else did it.
You bulldoze through your set. You just bulldoze, and if they're not listening, you try to capture them with some little bit of crowd work. You do what you can. Right at that moment, as a comic, you're like, look, like again, back to the poker analogy. This is the hand I've been dealt, and I got to play this hand.
Right, you got
to. I'm not going to be an asshole and go, these cards suck, and I'm going to walk away from the table. No one's going to ever invite me to the poker game again.
Right. That's how I felt. I felt very bad. I owe Brett a huge apology. I thought about Venmoing him his money back, but I did not because.
Yeah, well,
that wouldn't be smart. But I'll apologize to you publicly, Brett. But no, everybody else handled a great pair. I mean, Brett was a champ. Brett got up there. He was like a true professional. Perry.
You're just being nice to him because you feel bad?
No, he really was. He did what you're supposed to do. Perry was great. Mike Panzeca on top of the crowd. I think a train went by and then like an entire motorcycle gang. And I'm like, I felt so bad, but they handled it.
There was a lot of motorcycle people there?
No. It just was coincidence that at that time, on top of the kids not shutting up,
right,
that a train went by. And then after the train went by, the motorcycles came
by.
I mean, like, I'm going to laugh with him on that probably forever. But they were all very professional, and I was not.
Brett pointed out, I did the room. Me and Priester did the room. We did it inside, though, because the outside wasn't set up for it, and it was raining. So, but listen.
Were they paying attention?
I'm going to say this, depending on your material, but it wasn't easy. Like, it was tough, but especially because of the setup. We ended up makeshifting it because they had other plans, and we ended up makeshifting last minute, which worked out. But again, same thing. It's like, look, it is what it is. I got to realize then that, all right, well, first of all, this room isn't going to make or break me. It's not like I'm going to have, you know, I'm not going to get booked if I don't do well here today, or, you know what I mean? You know.
I agree with that, but and my apology is still not to the crowd. I still think they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
My apology is to Brett Morris.
Yeah, for
my
his
apologies
yeah.
to you, Brett Morris, because exactly. It was fucking unprofessional
and,
of me.
Yeah, never turn on a room, you know what
and,
I mean?
And so those yeah. people can still go fuck themselves with their, yeah, their especially Jenga those. And their...
Were they playing the big Jenga game while
big
the show
Jenga,
was going on?
You know, they did not care that I was...
I'll say this on another level, that a room like that, to me, should be...
You did power through it.
Should Yeah, you did. That room... That what's up, Bobby Manu, my new fan who... by the way, you heard that I worked at the Boca Black Box, right?
You did?
Yes, I featured for Ahmed there last minute. I got a call.
Wait
and,
a minute.
Yeah.
Was yeah. Randy there?
Yeah, I got the, yeah. Got
was
the,
there like
the
a
show,
mea
but,
culpa? Was this like a, like, we should have videoed this. There was peace?
Yeah, I got a, yeah, it was just, you know, everything's cool and everybody's.
Thank God, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and it was a good show and everything. So it was, and then I got a call that it was snowing in hell. And pigs were flying. And
hey, you know what? Randy, and like I told him when I was telling him to, you know, what I thought about him and what he thought about me and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, I respect, like, bookers have it hard. They run in these rooms and they're trying, you know, I appreciate the struggle.
Again,
I can appreciate the struggle.
I've said this, and this was part of what I put, and it was even part because I hadn't spoken to him, and the message proceeded from something I wrote him a year ago, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I may not like the way somebody listen. The guy, even admittedly, the guy knows he's a bit, you know, a bit personality wise. But you know, but as a person, whether no matter how smart or stupid I am in business, if somebody else does it their way, they do it their way. Unless I'm getting paid or they're asking me for my advice, you know, or something like that, I'm not going to credit. I'm not going to you did that's the way you do it. Fine, you know, what yep. I mean? That's not going to and that's and for that part you respect it. And listen, the place is beautiful. The place is great. Look, it's a great club. And I think they're getting their liquor license now. So,
I didn't know they had. I've never set foot in there.
Yeah, that's going to be
fun. But I certainly.
Perry Sachs said he loved it, by the way.
I did. I had so much fun with Perry.
How can you not have fun with Perry?
I know. He really.
Have you ever heard Perry say anything bad about anybody? No.
No.
He's just one of those guys. Hey, you know, good for him. Not like me. I'm the opposite.
Right, I've got
Perry
a
and
ton,
I are very different.
I got opinions.
When it comes
I've
to
got...
that kind of shit. Anyway. So that's the opening part of the show, and I think we cleared up a bunch of things. But I think the most important thing is don't buy face masks.
Don't. They don't
I mean?
Do anything.
If you're
unless
that
you're sick.
If
unless
you're
you have the coronavirus.
And if you are that sick, they had this woman from Fort Lauderdale that has it, and she came from Italy. She goes, I didn't want to get stuck there, so she came here. Yeah, you selfish bitch. Then you got on a fucking plane, and you probably spread
right.
the shit out to thousands of other people just to get back home. You should have fucking stuck it out in Italy and ate your fucking Italian bread and olive oil and had some fucking pizza
right.
and let it get and figure out what you're... Then you could have been sick there. But she's like, oh, I came home because I... That's the fucking problem. If you people are sick,
stay home.
The fuck home, all right? Even if
and your kids. This is what the moms don't get. And this is one of my hypercritical things with momminess. I don't like momminess. And what I don't like is that you think, like, I was at Publix.
Right.
And this woman's pushing a cart with a child in it who's clearly sick.
Right.
I mean, sniffles, coughing.
Right.
Why, this poor thing. And I'm like, what is this kid doing in Publix? And like I said, you can get into the ins and outs of single parents and how
right.
you do it and navigate it. And I don't really know because I don't fucking have them and I don't want them. But, you know, I do know this much. That kid shouldn't have been in Publix.
No. And if how bad did she need the groceries? Like, knowing that, I would have looked in there and if she had, like, you know, essentials and important things, but she ended up having, you know, cereal and you know.
You can order groceries online now too.
If you listen, that's my point. You know, the real question. Yeah, you're right. Some people they don't actually have the depth to try to solve or step around something. They keep tripping on the same fucking crack in the sidewalk.
I have something to add to that.
Our friend Robbie says, Rob Barton says, you must wear a mask if you're ugly. If you're ugly and you think you have the coronavirus, wear a mask either way. Just even if you don't think you're sick, just wear the fucking mask. All right. Good point.
I also wanted to add that if you are in a situation in which you have children and you can't even leave them alone long enough to go to Publix, you probably shouldn't have children.
Yeah. Should have more friends.
I'm going to get ruined for that.
How can you not find a babysitter, for God's sake?
Come on, you shouldn't have had them.
But you know what? you got to be able to wait. You know, like, all right, the kid's sick. All right, well, fuck, you know. I mean, you can't find somebody to come? And if not, well, fuck, you got to, like you said, you can order groceries.
Online, yeah. No excuse anymore for your dirty sick kids.
Can you imagine if somebody said, oh, I don't want to pay the extra $2. No, but you'd rather fucking endanger your kid's health, your life, everybody else's
life. I don't want your germs. $2. I don't want your germs.
Jerk off.
Unless I'm smoking weed with you, then I might want your germs.
Yeah, that's the only time. See, that's the thing. I'm not shaking it. No more handshaking.
No.
Fuck, don't shake my hand. I'm even fist bump. Fuck yourself. This is no contact.
How about chest bump?
I'll chest bump. I don't want to get close.
Be afraid.
Keep your fucking distance.
That's right.
And I'm going to be flying a lot here coming up. And like I got, I'm going to be going to Virginia.
Nice. Are you on tour?
Yeah, I'm going on tour. I got two nights in tour. I'm going on tour. I'm going to be at Cozzy's in Newport News, Virginia on the 20th and 21st, actually 22nd too. It's a charity event.
Nice.
But then I'm all over the place. In May, I'm in Colorado Springs, Oklahoma, Little Rock. And I'm going to be flying everywhere. Yeah.
Loonies.
So, and that's the thing. I don't, what am I going to do? I got to, you know.
You got to go.
I got to go.
You got to have fun. And have fun on
tour.
On tour. I saw a comedian knocking everybody else on Facebook about saying they killed it and things that drive us all crazy about when people new to comedy or whatever. But it's funny for that, like, a headliner is 30 minutes is not a headliner. Like, this person is the authority on the business of comedy, which the funny thing is I probably agreed with a lot of what he said. But to get on social media and just spew your authority and knock all these people and make them feel bad and then turn around and say you're on tour because you have 2 weeks of shows in another state is fucking ironic.
There's douchiness.
That's ironic.
We talked about things like it's douchey if somebody gets excited and posts on Facebook, hey, I'm opening for so-and-so, and then you want to go out and point out, you're not opening if you're hosting. The opening's
you're
a
not
feature
featuring
act,
if you know.
So sit back down,
look,
fucker.
Is your fucking face on the poster as the headliner?
Yeah.
Are they only asking you to do 30 minutes? Well, fucking congratulations. Yeah. You're headlining and doing 30 minutes.
Who cares?
We're talking about.
I don't know.
All right.
Listen, that's why.
We're not talking about the improv.
You know, I'm going to say this. Right. I'm going to say this. That's why there is a
coronavirus. That's where the legitimacy comes in.
That's why there is a coronavirus, because there's too many fucking morons out there.
Two types of people.
Yeah.
Those who know how the world works
and you know what?
Don't.
And when things like this happen, you know, then those ones that don't know what they're doing, they're gonna eat it. So I'm just, who knows?
I'm not wishing anything bad on anybody.
I'm just saying, wash your hands.
I'm saying, wash your hands and worry about your, if you're a comedian, worry about your fucking self and wash your hands.
Yeah. All right. Let's get the list together before we go to the news. All right. Okay. So A is wash your hands.
Anytime
you touch something, any minute you ground water and soap, wash your hands.
Right.
And they say do the ABCs twice. All right, which, you know.
Oh, is it twice now?
Yeah, you got to make sure you get between your fingers and shit.
Right,
and
get in between your nails.
Don't just sit there and go like this, you know. Don't be, again.
Girls with those crazy stiletto nails and shit, get in there.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And listen,
I
tell people simple, like, I'm a self-preservationist. When I go to the gas station and you got to punch in your zip code, I use my pinky.
I use my knuckle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, okay, good. I use my pinky because I don't really grab anything with my pinky.
But what do you do about the actual handle?
I use my dick. I'm wrapping around. No, I don't care if that thing gets poisoned. No, no one's ever touching that anymore. I use my everything. Whatever I do, I left hand it. Right. I don't.
Okay.
Because then when I get in the car, I get some French fries and shit. I grab my right hand.
Right. I'm a right hand.
Next thing you know, I got coronavirus French fries.
Right.
It sucks.
Which you may be asymptomatic to, like your chlamydia.
I have chlamydia.
What?
Oh God, I hope not. Remember, I'll share this story, being vulnerable. I had caught something in my in my younger years.
In your youths.
And I asked my brother, hey, what does it mean when you got the stain in your underwear?
Oh.
And he goes, hey, you got the clap.
A little discharge.
Yeah, I was scared.
Women, it's more confusing because we always kind of have a little.
You could have it without
different
it.
Times of the month, we get a little discharge. But if it's PSA, if it's got color or odor.
Yeah, it's not good. All right, then we just lost half our listeners. Anyway, it's that time of the day where we do what we need to do.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. By the way, Peter may be coming in.
Peter Kramer?
No, Peter Leonard.
Ah, Peter Leonard.
He's mentioned to me he wants to come back on the show a little bit.
Did Peter Kramer? I love doing the show. Yeah. You're just very far.
All right. Well, we got to figure it out because I want to. I got a lot of good reaction from a few people on the show, like other people and my friends in New York. That
maybe
listen to
we
the show.
Should change the venue to somewhere in Boca and pick like a cool like a bar or something.
Yeah, do an on location.
I'll
do that. If we get a sponsor, I'll do it.
Let's do that. Like Ethan, remember when Ethan did the podcast at the Cava Bar? I don't want to do it at a Cava Bar though.
Let's find
I'd rather
a place.
Do it at a strip club before a Cava Bar.
Yeah, well, that's not. I would do that. I would
do. Yeah, so we're looking for sponsors. If you have any ideas, we want to do a live broadcast 3 times a week.
No.
Twice a week.
Once a week.
Once a week.
Just once a week, a location, one night a week, we go do it.
I love
that.
Get a
following.
If you, okay,
think about it. Yeah. Here's our first story. Oprah Winfrey, falls down at wellness tour while talking about balance. If you haven't seen the video, you have to, because when you watch
somebody.
It's awful.
I mean, like, she did not. She went down.
It was awkward. Like the only other thing was like when you see the video of Wendy Williams when she passed out and she was in that Statue
didn't
of Liberty.
Compare.
She was looking around and then she fell. Oprah, you couldn't see her face. She just kind of
Oprah bounced like Oprah like.
And so did everybody. Boomed.
Yeah, like she hit and hit. Yeah. Like she it was like remember when you used to throw rocks across the lake. She skidded across that floor, but she handled it like a champ. She was very funny about it. She switched to sneakers, which...
I guess she had high heels on. Probably.
Yeah, they are a pain in the... I've almost eaten shit many times in my heels.
The media mogul, 66...
And I can see my feet.
...took a nasty tumble at the Forum Arena on Saturday while ironically talking about balance.
That's ironic. Now, that is the funny thing. Yes. Balance doesn't have to be
physical.
On your feet.
Yeah, mental balance. Here's my definition of wellness means to me.
She couldn't have planned
that. She goes, wellness means all things in balance, and balance doesn't mean all things are equal or at peace at all times, Winfrey said, before losing her footing and falling to her fat ass.
They didn't say her fat ass.
I did.
She's mid-sized these days.
She's a big woman.
She is. You know what? Go ahead.
No, it is funny. It's ironic when things like that happen. You're talking about things and then that happens. I think that's just a punishment thing.
The fact that she was talking about balance and lost her balance, is definitely down in the books. It would be like Janet Jackson singing like about what was the one where she was a prude? Let's wait a while.
I'm not a big Janet Jackson fan.
And then her boob fell out.
Oh yeah.
That's not a really good example.
No, not really, but you tried. I mean, thank God you tried.
I don't win every time.
They're not all winners. But I like her message. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Balance doesn't mean all things equal at peace at all times. Like in comedy, okay, you could be having it really rough for a long time, and then sometime down the road, something just opens up.
Clicks.
And you know.
If you steal enough comics jokes.
Yeah. Right?
Just kidding.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. The only reason somebody wouldn't be around for that to happen would be because they're focusing on the wrong thing or they're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, I do comedy, A, because I love doing it. B, I can do it. C, I'm moving forward in it. You know, it's not like I'm getting stagnant in a sense. Once it becomes something I'm struggling at, what am I going to do? I'm going to move on.
Right.
You know, part of me dealing with it's the acting now. So I'm trying to do other things.
And you're doing great at that.
You know, and I want to have fun. I want to, so I'm doing things because I enjoy doing it, not because I think I'm going to be famous or not because I
yeah.
I'm doing
Although, going back to your first point, one thing that I always try to do is not judge a comedian. So, like you said, because you start somewhere.
Right.
And a lot of people be like, it's for some reason, it's mostly girls. She sucks. Oh, she sucks. She's, and I'm always like, well, I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
Because you have to give people that forgiveness, because what you saw 3 years ago, I've seen some comics evolve very quickly. I've seen some take their time and get to that point. But I won't ever judge a comedian on how good they are if I haven't seen them in the past 6 months.
If you don't have nothing to say, say nothing. Like somebody asked me about a particular comic I admittedly don't like.
Right.
Okay. And I said, boy, that guy's been around a long time. Because I basically found something truthful to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know?
He's got nice shoes.
Yeah.
He's fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice.
He's here. Yeah. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's my Facebook friend.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Here's our next story. Three people died at an Instagram influencer's birthday. Three people died at an Instagram influencer's birthday party in Moscow after dry ice was poured into the swimming pool. Hey, Vladimir, I have a great idea. We're going to get a shitload of dry ice.
Oh, my God.
We put it in the pool, and it's going to be everywhere.
And we go Instagram live.
Yes, it's great. Millions of followers
are going to watch people die on my watch.
Now, I read this. It's funny because I guess dry ice is carbon dioxide, right? Frozen.
Okay, I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me put my science hat on.
Yeah. And then, you know, because you know the old day when you went to that science class, they brought in dry ice. Then you'd put it in a glass and watch it bubble. And for special effects and Halloween, some people
right,
get
but
it,
I know you're not supposed to touch it.
Not the dry ice itself. If it's too cold, it'll burn you.
Right, you're not supposed to touch dry ice.
But if you put it in water, you know, now what you don't do is you don't put like shitload of it in a swimming pool and in a closed arena area. It's like in Russia in the middle this time of year when it's not really.
Wow, and three people died?
Yeah.
That's tragic.
Three people died in Moscow on Friday after dry ice was poured into a swimming pool at the birthday party of Yekaterina Didenko.
I have to look her up. What is she? What's her? What's she influencing? Yekaterina.
Yeah, Y E K A T E R I N A. Yekaterino.
Okay.
Yekaterina.
Y A.
Y E.
Y.
Yekaterina.
Y E K.
Oh God! Just find it.
Y E.
Didenko.
What's the first? Y E.
Y E K A. Yeka.
Yeka.
T E R I N A.
Okay.
Tarina.
Tarina.
Didenko's husband is said to be among the three people who died in the incident.
I think this is it.
Dry ice was dumped into the pool to help partygoers cool off after leaving the sauna. But other reports say the dry ice may have been poured into the pool to create a visual effect. Oh, I'm going with that one.
Yekaterina. No. There, I found a Yekaterina, 21, but she only has 727 followers.
The BBC reported that the ice was meant to cool the swimming pool off to help the guests after. Reportedly, that the dry ice might have been put into the pool just for effect. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they did it just to make it look cool. I don't see one Yekaterina that has really any influence. I have more followers than this one. That's not much. Yaka.
Didenko posted a photo for her birthday following the party. Apparently shared a video on Instagram indicating that her husband was in intensive care.
Oh my God, it killed her own husband with dry ice.
Didenko has more than a million followers on Instagram, and the BBC said she used her social media platform to share tips about how to save money on pharmaceutical products. Boy, there's a genius.
Oh, her and Goop. Is she making candles that smell like so her here, snatch?
Here you have somebody who's giving you advice on how to save money on fucking pharmaceuticals, and their fucking dumbass puts all this dry ice and chokes everybody
right,
to death with
exactly.
carbon dioxide.
She probably also munches her alcohol. And what is it called? Butt chugging?
Oh, butt chugging? I didn't realize that was a big thing.
Because I want to avoid the calories. I'm just going to butt chug this beer.
Oh, Yeah, when I get advice, I'm going to do it with somebody who has a diploma for it. Man steals candy bar, gets run over and killed by a truck. There's poetic
there
justice.
There you go. There's the karma.
Newburg. What's that? 28-year-old man who allegedly stole a candy bar.
What kind of candy bar, I wonder?
Probably Butterfinger.
Everything Butterfinger.
Candy bar from a gas station on Broadway in the city of Newburg was killed early Wednesday by an 18-wheel tractor trailer. Boy, he didn't just get hit. He got crushed.
I wonder how the truck didn't see him.
He was, because, you know, again, he ran into the street because he was thieving
candy bars.
He just created a grand theft. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was $1 million chocolate bar. $1,000 in there.
Maybe
grand.
It was Willy Wonka.
Maybe Willy Wonka hit him with his truck.
No, what was the kid's name?
The clerk at the mobile gas station. Oh,
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie just got his ticket. And he ran out the door and got crushed. The clerk at the mobile gas station.
That was a good burp.
Asked that Kyrell Saunders, 28, be removed from the store. Saunders left and began walking easterly towards Robinson Avenue, put his hands out in a stopping motion to slow down the truck, attempting to travel northbound. He crossed in front of the vehicle, tried to jump on its passenger side, but was seen falling underneath the trailer portion
of the vehicle. That probably hurt. Did he die?
The medical examiner officer was called to the scene and says he was he died. His cause of death was a 18-wheel trailer truck.
Talk about playing a game of Candy Crush.
Yeah. There you go. You like that one? Maybe if you told that at Brett's gig, you would have got laughs.
Oh, I would have had them all.
Man offers $25,000 to anyone who can find him a girlfriend. Hey, you want to go hook up with this guy and I'll split the money with you?
Okay. How much are we talking?
I'll take $5,000. You can take the $20,000.
My boyfriend will understand.
Yeah, he's a fireman. One of the nights he's on call. And I'll just be your pimp. I'll just show up and I'll take the $5,000.
Yeah.
While many people are scrambling to find last-minute presents or even date before Valentine's Day, this Kansas man put something more. He wants a girlfriend. He's offering $25,000 anyone who can help him find it.
Oh, did we miss the deadline because it was a Valentine's Day promotion?
Mm-hmm.
Every day
he's
is Valentine's
He's an entrepreneur by
Day.
Trade. Has been working on the project for about 6 months. He launched his dating website Sunday night.
Thank you, Brad.
Hmm. You know, this is a fucking loser. If you got that much money and you can't find a date, if you got $25,000 sitting around and you can't find a fucking date, how ugly are you? Like,
wait a minute. I just went in a whole nother. Have you seen the show Love is Blind with Nick Lachey?
No.
Okay, we need to have a special Love is Blind episode. Okay. I'm going to need you to watch it on Netflix.
All right.
Talking about why people are single. My face the entire time is just like.
Are these just people that are demented and they don't know why no one likes them?
Oh my God!
Doesn't seem to be the way. Like people are so set in their
low self worth.
Yeah.
The one guy like was talking to the girl and they were together, and then she tried to go with somebody else, and then she decided to go with this other guy, and then the other guy decided to go with someone else, and then she tried to come back to the other guy, and you're like, well, he's not gonna fucking take you back. Well, he took her back.
He did.
Yep.
She hot?
Not really.
Really? Well, you're just being mean because she really
No, she's not. She like she's one of those like you ever see a girl in sunglasses and you're like, whoa. But then you see her up close and you're like,
yeah,
she's one of those. Like she could look hot from far away.
That's always interesting, you know?
I know.
Those girls, like you see them from a distance or they, like you said, they always put their hair in front of their face.
Yeah.
And
then, oh, yeah. Like that.
Yeah. They have their bangs in front of their face and they're like, oh, she's not bad. And then then you move forward and, you know, you start walking a little fast. Like,
sometimes I think I'm a little better looking far away than I am up close.
Yeah, I am.
Although I've been taking really good care of my skin lately and staying out of the sun. Yeah.
Hmm.
PSA number 3.
Well, I don't feel bad for this guy.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Look, there's a seat. My father said this. There's a seat for every ass. You just got to find that seat.
Hmm.
Just go on Bumble.
Very profound.
Go on Bumble. Go on dates.
I don't know what's going on. I had a story here, but it disappeared. California homeowner uses motion-activated sprinkler with impressive amounts of pressure to thwart thieves. That's a great idea.
What?
The guy has like a work truck with shit in the back, which has got to be hard. You know, when you got all that heavy equipment in your truck and you got to move it every time you get home. And you don't have a garage to park it in.
No, not even allowed in my neighborhood, but.
Yeah. Homeowners
get your truck of shit out of the yard.
Those are great, you know. For that purpose. You know,
but wait, I don't understand. What did you say? It was a motion?
Detection, like sprinkler system. Very powerful
jets. So in
jets.
Order to get the...
So the minute the guy walks up to the driveway, these powerful fucking...
You know, why? To keep them away?
Yeah, all of a sudden somebody walks up to your car at 3 in the morning and these sprinkler system just, you know.
Oh.
The homeowner of California is trying to flush out crime. A Porterville resident recently decided to deter potential thieves in her neighborhood by setting up motion-activated sprinklers.
What if you just had your car washed?
Well, I guess you don't. You still have the shit in it. Our floodlight didn't seem to scare them off, so we decided to have a little fun with motion-activated sprinklers.
Hold on, your dog is licking my feet.
Oh, yeah? Smart dog.
Feels so good.
All right, it's a threesome. We're all getting into it. My dog's horny. Says here, according to Camarena, the lady, there have been recent issues with thieves coming into the neighborhood and try to steal tools out of the vehicles in addition to anything else they can find. Yeah, don't ever leave shit in your
car. Don't leave your tools or anything in the car. Don't leave shit in the car.
But actually,
you should keep a clean car anyway.
She actually has like the sprinkler system in the bed of the truck. So as they come looking up, they
spray. Oh, that's great. I would like to see a video of that.
Yeah. It says here, in a video posted on Facebook by Camarena, someone on a bicycle who came out to her home on Tuesday can be seen getting hit with a powerful jet of water after setting the sprinkler off.
That would be funny at Christmas time.
Person on the Ring video then ducks away and pedals off.
For porch pirates. Although I guess they would get the Amazon people too.
I want to go on Shark Tank and I'm putting stuff together. I'm getting people together because I want to create like the next step above the Ring tone, you know, the Ring camera.
Yeah, we have
Ring
one. Yeah.
I want to get one that's the Punisher Ring, meaning if someone comes up, you know, no one's going to get scared like, "Hey, buddy, get off my porch." You know, they're going to steal your shit. Or they know where you live. Who knows? If they're assholes and you're talking shit to them, who's to say that when you come home one day drunk, they're not going to fucking mug you or put a knife in your back, you dumbasses. You know, you got to be careful with that kind of stupid shit.
Yeah.
Remember, I always laugh when people are like yelling at somebody at your home. They know where you live. You don't know where they live. You don't even know who the fuck you see them on your camera. Big deal. But they know where you live. They know what time you come home. So so you got to be careful with that type of shit, right? These people, again, idiots. People don't fucking know.
Nothing to lose.
But if you're going to do it, you got to have a Ring system. Somebody rings a doorbell. They're trying to steal your shit. They're breaking into the house.
They don't ring the doorbell before they steal your shit.
Or they come up they come to the door. So you know what? You see the person on your phone. Right, and you're like, "Oh, look at that person! They're trying to break into my house." Bam! Next thing you know,
a big fist comes out of your door.
Yeah, like a big bucket of dog shit falls on their head.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they get slimed.
Yeah, they get fucking slimed. Or even worse, or like you trap them,
you feather them.
Yeah,
you tar. Is that racist to say that?
Tar and feather them.
Just because it was a racial, it was like
tar and feather was used. Thousands of years ago.
I know, but I apologize if I'm talking about tarring and feathering the white dude trying to steal shit off my front porch.
You know what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden a cage falls down there, stuck in there, door shut. They get stuck in there, and then like you just like you know you hit him with cat piss and you know what I mean. You let a skunk loose in the fucking thing, and then they call the police.
No, you get like a net, like in the cartoons, like the net drops.
That's what
down.
We're gonna do. We're gonna come up with a Marvel Spider-Man cam.
Love it.
So you know, the minute somebody fuck you. You know, they get stuck to your porch, and that's it. And then the cops come and get them. Yeah, that's
what you
need.
That would be so much fun. You can poke them with a broom.
That's what you need, dude.
That would be so much fun. They're still there when you get home.
Listen.
Or like the kind where it like brings where it drags them up, it puts them in the, like a trap, and it.
I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
I'm gonna put on Shark Tank. Yeah.
You know? You don't have a story to tell.
I know. Yeah, I do.
I have to have this.
I'm a fortunate person, and
because I really care.
Yeah,
this is my last chance.
I spent all my money on strip clubs.
I'm a recovered drug addict. Yeah.
I snorted up $50,000 up my nose.
I mean, this is my fifth husband because I've got a really bad picker.
Now, last story of the day, by the way, in Mumbai, airport staffer carries luggage with BOM tag. Is beaten up on suspicion of being a terrorist.
Bom? What's B-O-N?
It's not bomb unless you're...
Oh, B-O-M?
Yeah, that B-O-M.
Idiots, they don't even know how to spell bomb?
I think you ran out of ink. The passenger found the airline tag of B-O-M on Ganesh Shin's luggage, which they mistook for bomb. 32-year-old man who was carrying luggage with an airline tag that read B-O-M from Bombay... was beaten up by passengers on board Candesh Express after they suspected him of being a terrorist. The man identified as Ganesh Shinde also had a map scribbled on his luggage.
I want to beat him up just for being on, what is it, Candesh Express?
Yeah. The incident occurred around 11:35 p.m. when Shinde was traveling in a general compartment on his way back from Mumbai after attending a friend's wedding in Jalagon. The Railway Protection Police, the RPF for short, said Shindy asked a fellow passenger, Ganesh Shankar, 24, for a charger. They started chatting, and soon Shindy asked Shankar to come with him near the passage in front of the train's gates. He was, as he wanted, to show him something interesting on the receipt to make a bomb. Shankar grew skeptical but laughed it off. But when Shindy handed over his cell phone to Shankar and asked him to type out his mobile number, Shankar raised an alarm and called the ticker examiner, and other passengers and officers came up and beat the shit out of him.
Well, they say, what is it? If see something, say something.
Yeah, they definitely say something.
See something, say something.
Several passengers arrived and began checking Shindy's luggage. They found this airline tag of BOM, which they mistook for bomb. Following this, the passengers began beating up Shindy because they didn't know who else to blame.
Because that's the way you handle you people who like have bombs.
You made me look like an idiot, you fuck.
You start beating them up. Oh, puppy, are you throwing up that french fry?
Yeah, so if you're going to, you know, if you have to do it, if you're going to travel in India, I wouldn't put BOM on your tag. Right?
Really? Is he the one in the wrong?
No, people overreacting. Let's face it. I mean, do-gooders. These are like social media social warrior justice warriors, whatever they're called.
Helping out.
Yeah, they all think they're participating and they're all doing something smart. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Later Dougie Show. I want to thank Jen Hellman for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
All nice in her red dress.
I am. I'm very
lady in red.
That's me. I got my pearls on. I look very.
You got big arms.
I my arms look cute. I don't know why. I think it's like the dress is just pushing everything together.
Yeah, that's the type
and
of,
like,
you know,
I got uniboob. But when I stand up, it looks nice. It's I'm just stunning. Kind of swelching.
Yeah, a little bit.
And these I don't guys really are, give a fuck.
No, you shouldn't. You got a man.
I got a man.
You don't care what anybody else thinks. Like, look at me. I don't give a fuck what other people think.
I really don't. You know what's weird, though, is I've been very thin for most of my life. And only in this past year did I gain weight. But what's weird is they're the suckers, the people that are hungry.
Right.
Because guys don't care. I mean, like, maybe I'm just not big enough. But, like, I get more attention.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, listen. We just had this conversation. It was at a show I did recently, and there was a woman there, very beautiful woman, big woman too. She's, you know, voluptuous.
Voluptuous, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what's. Yeah, I would have known that those all these years, I would have ate.
I've gotten away with that. I've been told that, you know, like, hey, you carry it well.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
You know, you got, you know.
Guys have always gotten away with it, but
could they?
I don't think I ever realized as a thin woman, as a very thin woman, because I still am perspective and. I don't know what it
means. See, you don't want to be in shape because you want to get laid all the time. You want to be in shape because you want to feel good about yourself.
I've just always been obsessed with being thin, yeah. And now I'm not as obsessed with being thin. I still work out a lot, but I'm not as obsessed with what I eat. But yeah, I didn't realize if I would have known that all that time that the heavier times I've been in my life, the nicer guys I've met. I've only met assholes when I'm fucking.
Yeah,
because really
they
want
to hit their head. There, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to have guys.
You want to meet a nice guy, gain 15 pounds.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, that's all I have time for, guys. I don't have any comedy this week, but on Thursday night, you can catch me at the Savor Cinema in Fort Lauderdale, the old Cinema Paradiso, acting in the Starlight Club.
Cool.
I'm reading for like 5 or 6 different characters, along with another cast of 7 or 8 people, 6, 7 people. We have a show on Thursday at 7:30 and one on Sunday, a matinee at 2. So
cool.
Come out to the show, and if you're interested, reach out to me directly. I may have some tickets for you.
Do you get to do both of those at those voices at the
yeah,
same
I get,
time?
I,
like,
I,
what do you want? What do you mean, what do I want?
I
want
to know what you want.
No.
I don't think you guys should be talking like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing women's voices. but it's fun. They usually separate it amongst, you know. But one of the guys is Moose, where I'm like, this. This is Moose.
Hey, when is this?
Jimmy thought I should come by, and he said you needed a secretary. So,
you just looked and sounded like Tony Soprano.
Did I?
Just now.
Yeah.
For like
that one split second.
1 second.
God
when
damn it, I wish
this?
They'd come up with a movie about fucking him.
When is this again?
Thursday, 7:30 in downtown Fort Lauderdale at the Savor, Savor Cinema. If not Sunday at 2 o'clock, the last show.
Okay.
So you can come out. And again, if you're interested, let me know. I probably have a little small guest list I could put together. But if not, come out and see. It's very fun. It's interesting. Joe Corso's book, The Starlight Club. And that's it. And next week, though, Tavolino's is back on March 11th. Richie Redding, very funny comic out of New York City, is hot. Perry Sack will be hosting that show. And Will Rock the House Lewis is the middle. On Thursday next week, our new room at the Blue Bar Grill in Hallandale, which has been great. We had our first show, which went really well. We'll bring in Richie Redding's headlining. Will Rock the House Lewis is the feature. And I'm hosting because I'm back in town. On Wednesday, I'm doing a show with Frank Del Pizzo at a country club. I got to wear a suit.
Oh, good. Yeah, Frank is so much fun. So that's all next week.
All next week. So go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow me at Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie Show on Instagram and on Twitter. Find us. And how about you?
I got the most important thing ever, and that's March 28th. I want everybody to go online, go to Eventbrite, and buy your tickets for Comics Crushing Cancer. We've got a great lineup of mostly people from our podcast.
Yes.
We've got Jackie Sanchez. We've got Jay Guy. I got Ramon Garcia. I got myself. And I think Jolie Baez is stopping by. Nice. So we have a great lineup. And we're going to be raising money to help women with all the personal costs associated with cancer. So go to my Facebook, Jen Hellman Foland. Got to change that. But go to Eventbrite, Comics Crushing Cancer.
That should do it.
Cintron, I forgot.
That should do it. By the way, Peter Kramer just joined us.
Oh, Peter, late. You're late.
You gotta watch it. Watch the whole video, buddy.
Watch the whole thing. We talked about you. Yeah. We did talk about you.
Yeah, we did. We did mention you, by the way. Anyway, guys, that's it. Thanks for checking us out. We'll be back next week right here at the same spot with an all-new show. We don't know who will be there, but we'll figure it out by the time we start the show.
We always do.
That's right. See you guys later.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the Earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.